Howdy. Welcome to the Woman Inspired Podcast, or welcome back if you're tuning in yet again. And thank you. Whether you're here the first time or this is your 150th time, I'm glad you're here. I'm Karen. You can find more information about this podcast, about me, how to schedule me for your next retreat or conference. Yeah, I speak at those retreats and conference. I do all kinds of serious things and some Christian comedy. So I'd love for you to check out those details on my website, womaninspired.com. You're also going to find information out there on how to follow me on social media, as well as introductions to the books I've written and coming up a new one, which is going to release in a few weeks. So that's womaninspired.com. Okay, so today's episode, it's kicking off right now. And I have some pod quotes for you to start off with. From me to you. All right. The first one is by Martin Luther King, who said, "You don't need to see the whole staircase, just the first step." And the next is straight from Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." I love that. That's comforting. So many of the Psalms are. So today's podcast is titled Elevation. All right, so the other day, actually it was several days ago, I found myself praying for someone's stress to be alleviated. You know, where I go to church, we have a prayer chain that goes out via text message. I also have one specifically for my women's group. So I'm getting prayer requests on and off throughout the entire week. And my goal is to always pray immediately when I receive a prayer request, because otherwise I'm afraid I'll forget to pray. Not sure if you've ever done that, but I have. But then there are some requests that I know I'm supposed to have more on my ongoing prayer list and pray over and over again. And so I just jot those down to make sure that I don't miss those as well. And this was one of those types of prayer requests, something that I knew I'd be praying for at least for a while. And I thought, as I prayed, sometimes we pray for stress to be lifted from someone, but it never happens. And sometimes we pray for that thing to be removed from someone or for them to be healed, and God doesn't give us a yes to that healing or that removal of whatever it was we prayed for. I mean, do you ever feel like it's unfair? I mean, I have to say that there are times that I have gotten angry about it. Unanswered prayers seem harsh to me sometimes. And yes, I know technically there are no unanswered prayers. It's just sometimes the answers are no. Or sometimes the answer is wait, or we'll see, or not yet. It's not time yet. But when I was praying, I kept hearing this word over and over in my head. Elevation. Elevate. Elevate. Don't alleviate. Because I was praying for this woman's stress to be alleviated. I mean, this was major stress. This was no small thing. And I had to ponder this a while because I didn't know why I was hearing elevate. I couldn't get those words out of my head. I had to take time to think on it, to pray about it, and just let it wash over me. I mean, why did those words, elevation and elevate, come to my mind? And what in the world does that mean? So this is where I went with this. Just a bit of knowledge for those who don't know, and for those who already do know, here's a reminder. There's a place in the Bible, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that talks about running the race that's marked out for you. We're encouraged to endure and to keep running the race till we get to the prize at the end. And I often hear people say to remember that this life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. I take that to mean that we're supposed to be in it for the long haul. However, long haul, however long that is difficult, and it can be, and that we're not supposed to give up in it even when we feel like it. We're supposed to strap on the best running shoes we've got, grab a water bottle, tuck some Kleenex in our waistband or our bra, whichever applies to you. And oh, and way back when, I would tuck a quarter in the tongue of my shoe if I was going out on a hike or a walk, or I rarely jogged, but still, I would walk the marathon. And I would tuck a quarter in my shoe in case I needed to make an emergency phone call. But you'd have to run about 64,000 miles these days to find a working payphone. You just grab your cell phone instead. you know, maybe your debit card, and you tuck it in your C cups in case of an emergency, and you're fine. In other words, be prepared for the long haul. Tackle that marathon and don't come up for air till you're done. Keep running the race. And it's good advice. There is some biblical wisdom and solid tips about this very thing from the inspirational world at large and from the Bible. But what happens to you when you just keep tripping over your own feet? I mean, not that I've ever done that, right? Yeah. What happens when you keep tripping? What happens when you get so tired and weak that you have to stop and sit on a park bench for a while? Let me tell you, in today's world, you'd get mocked for it. You'd get told that you're lazy or that you're wrong for going against what others say you should be doing. Maybe it's not politically correct to pause at the moment and sit on the bench, or someone else passes by and by the way you're sitting on the bench, it offends them. Well, when you're going to hear about it over and over again, then sometimes you just don't take a pause when maybe God is telling you to pause. Maybe God's telling you to rest. Maybe part of running that race is, again, not a sprint, but a marathon. Maybe you're supposed to slow down a little bit, but a lot of times we don't slow down. We don't do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it because we want our answer now and because the world tells us, hey, you should have your answer now and this is your choice. You do what you feel led. You do A, B, C, D, but at the same time they say, and if you don't do A, B, C, D, E, we're going to get mad at you and mock you for it. Oh, the world is fickle, right? It could be different today than it is tomorrow. And the world is quick to tell us when they think we can't or shouldn't do things. The worldly mantra for decades has been that we're supposed to stop and smell the roses. However, if you linger too long, the world will complain. They'll goad you. They'll make fun of you and berate you for being too slow and getting behind. Then, of course, you have those who feel like they should stop because that bench is theirs. They own the bench if they decide to occupy the bench for even a moment. So sometimes some people expect the finish line to somehow miraculously be even closer, even though they've stopped for way too long and they weren't supposed to, merely because they want it to be closer. And hey, could someone please move it closer to accommodate me? Because after all, I'm the most important thing in the world. You know, some people have the philosophy, I'm tired and I deserve it. That's the cry from a lot of people that we see in the world today. Some people even expect the race to stop, the whole world to stop and to pause. The marathon needs to be put on pause just for them. Or maybe they got a rock in their shoe along the way and they think everyone else should come and stop to help them with that rock. Whoa, stop everything. Mrs. Jane Payne has an issue, so the entire world must stop the marathon. Wait for Mrs. Jane to remove the rock, only to find out it's probably not a rock, it's a bunion on her foot because she has a hole in her sock and didn't realize it. And uh-oh, now we have to stop everything so Mrs. Jane can go get new socks. The rest of the world has to take pause and take note. Stop being who they are. Stop pressing on as God calls us to. Stop moving forward because Mrs. Jane Payne doesn't want to be left out. Mrs. Jane wants pity and attention, and she wants attention because she's different. She's wounded. She's sitting in a bad sock of her own making. And did I tell you that Mrs. Jane's feet stink? She doesn't keep them clean. She doesn't take care of what she's supposed to take care of in the first place. So she's slow and she expects everyone else to slow down with her and feel sorry for her instead of letting them run at their own pace and run the race that God led them to run. But guess what? The race doesn't stop. The path doesn't get moved. It doesn't get removed. It doesn't get changed because you or Mrs. Jane Payne came to the race unprepared. And the race doesn't stop because you paused to smell the roses. And the marathon isn't over just because someone needed to stop and sit on a park bench a while to talk to God and rest their feet and rest their weary soul. Even if I prayed and prayed for the race to be over, maybe it's not my time to be finished with it yet. I highly doubt any of us want to run a race as thunderstorms rise up around us and hail plinks down on our heads and puddles just kind of gather along the pathway for us to run in. It's not comfortable, and it can hurt. It can be dangerous along the pathway. Other runners can push us out of their way because they're impatient. They might shove us to the side and be rude to us and leave us in their dust and make us feel alone or even inadequate. But that's all part of the marathon. That's part of running this race, whether we like all of those particulars or not, and whether we get along with all the Mrs. Jane Paynes or not. So what does all this have to do with praying for someone's stress? Well, getting back to when I was praying for someone's stress on their path, you know, their path was filled with stress at the moment, and I was praying for it to be alleviated and eliminated. You know, the emotional and mental rain and lightning and spiritual hail of that storm, I wanted it to be lifted and removed from her. God didn't do it. At least not when and how several of us had been praying for it to happen. And I was frustrated, all the while trying to remember that God may have a purpose or a reason for not removing those storms. Maybe this person needed to learn how to get through the storms in life and continue on the race. Maybe this person needed to learn how to depend on God and his timing and listen to him better. Maybe she needed to learn something along the way that has nothing to do with me and my prayer or with anything but what God can see. And so he didn't take away her stress. He didn't alleviate the storm. So then what? Then what am I left to pray for? How can I help, if at all? Elevate. Again, that was the word of the day, right? That's what kept coming to my mind. Elevate. I had to pray into it. Does that mean I should elevate my thoughts? Did it mean that I'm supposed to lift the person up more in prayer or elevate myself somehow? Stand high up on a ladder on a rooftop to shout to the Lord? No. It meant that instead of praying for her stress to be alleviated, I should pray for her eyes to be elevated, her thoughts to be elevated, her spirit to be elevated. I kept praying and praying, listening and seeking God on this, and it became clear that I was thinking too narrowly and too small. So in the middle of the storms, on the race marked out for her, I should have been praying all along for her to take her eyes off the storms and elevate them and put them on Jesus. For her not to be watching the storms in front of her and the puddles or the other runners and the people around her she felt she was competing with, but to look ahead at the prize that was waiting for her. I should have been praying for her to elevate her eyes to see Jesus, to look up, to look ahead, to look where God was leading her on this journey. Elevation. I should have been praying for her sense of hope and awe and wonder and her sense of love and faith to be higher, to be lifted up, to reach to the heavens. Elevate. I should have been praying for her to lift her eyes up to the Lord. Psalm 121:1-2 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And Hebrews 12:1-3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I now do much more praying along these lines. But when I'm asked to pray for people, yes, I pray specific prayers as asked for whatever it is, healing, financial help, clear vision and wisdom, protection, and God comes through. He's faithful. Even if we can't see it in the moment, I have to have faith and know that he's got us. But I have also learned not just for God to alleviate someone's troubles, but for him to help elevate them and for them to elevate. I think of that verse I just read from Hebrews where it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And I have to remember that for the joy we have coming and for the Lord, who can fill our hearts with joy and praise. We have to endure the race. We will endure things on this path that we don't want to. None of it will be anything compared to what Jesus endured, but it's still stuff. It's our stuff, and it's still difficult for many of us. Some people in the world endure hardships that we can't even imagine as we sit here in our cushy cars and commuting to work, listening to podcasts, or as we plug in the earbuds to go take a walk, and we laugh to whatever it is we're streaming next. And still, those people have to run the race that was marked out for them. And we have to run the race that's marked out for us. They have to endure more probably than we ever will, or at least endure a very different type of terrain in their race than we do. And we all have to learn how to elevate our eyes, our vision, our hearts, but also remember that in our human condition, our child of God pathways that we walk on daily, you know, in the simple daily things and in the life-changing small moments, the little plunks of hail, they can still come beating down on us in all those things. On a day-to-day basis, we could enter into a period where we have storms, and we can and should pray for God to alleviate them. But more than that, we should pray to be reminded that we should elevate our eyes. We should elevate our sight and our focus so that it's on Jesus. What I'm sharing does not discount the stress that you and I might have. A pebble in the way can be even more dangerous on our path than a huge boulder can. I mean, you could see a boulder if it comes up in front of you. You know, it might be a colossal event to have a boulder come down, and a huge clap of thunder can happen and greatly affect us. But sometimes it's the small things that can take us down, like a pebble in the pathway. That little tiny pebble on your path that you don't see ahead, it can cause your foot to turn just so, wrenching your ankle and pulling you to the ground. Those small things on our path can hurt us and threaten to stop us in our tracks. This is when we tend to shrink back and we start looking down because we become afraid. We get up, we walk, we run again eventually, but we keep our eyes down because we start to panic. We watch every little thing that might cause us injury or harm. We're afraid of it. We brush off others' concerns for us, and we steer clear of other people on the path. We ignore other racers. We get discouraged because God let us fall. So that makes it more difficult to hear someone else encourage us because we think they don't get it. They're saying all these positive things, these things that sound like cliches to us, quoting scripture to us, saying they'll pray for us. But it's going nowhere. It's not penetrating us because we think, eh, that sounds so nice and rosy, but they don't get it. They don't know what it's like to turn their ankle and fall. They don't know what it's like to be on my path. But they do. Sometimes we just stop and refuse to get back in the race because what's the point if we're just going to get hurt in the end anyhow, right? Those little things that feel so big are important to us, but we have to have perspective. This is when we elevate our eyes and our focus so we can see Jesus. That's why it's so important. Because in comparison to what Jesus endured, the things that we have to endure are so small. The pebbles are like grains of sand, don't you think? Yeah, pretty small stuff. The bills piling up, the insult from a friend, the rejection from a spouse, or our past breakups and emotional pain, the medical issues that we keep battling, even the loneliness at a holiday or the loss of a very dear loved one, they're small in comparison to the joy that will come and to the price Jesus paid so that we can be with those loved ones again. The stress of work that we might have or when we think our prayers are unanswered, all these things are like little pebbles on the path that might trip us up, that might hurt us. And yet we're afraid of what might happen, when really probably they'll just annoy us and try to keep us from finishing the race. And boy, doesn't Satan love that. If we give up, if we don't pause when we're supposed to pause, if we don't get up and brush ourselves off and keep going when we're supposed to keep going, if we say we don't want to finish the race anymore, that's exactly what the enemy wants. If we let these things keep us down, especially when we feel our prayers for stress to be alleviated are going unanswered and ignored, then we have just given Satan some little victory in our lives. But when all the while God is wanting us to elevate our thinking, our viewpoint, our prayer life, and our hope. The last part of Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." God doesn't want us to lose heart. He doesn't want us to grow weary. But how do we do that? How do we not lose heart and not grow weary? Colossians 3, 2 says, "To set our hearts and minds on things above, not on the things of this earth." On the things above. We have to elevate our focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Have you ever seen anyone walking and holding their cell phone like in front of them? I was walking down a busy hallway the other day, and let me just say, people like this annoy me. And I pause here to say that I have done this myself in the past, and I'm sure I have annoyed other people. I've done it a few times, actually, and I was paying more attention to clicking on the podcast icon on my phone as I was walking instead of getting the podcast queued up and going before I set out to walk. Dumb, 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 dumb of me. I almost ran smack into someone one time and almost ran into a wall the other time. That's when I kind of woke up, said, I need to pay better attention. I did it, and yet I hate it when other people do it the same thing. So I have to check myself regularly to make sure I'm not being a pain to someone else and not being unsafe. So I have to lift my eyes up and pay attention to what's out in front of me instead of just what's going on with me in my own little world. Well, the other day I saw a man doing very much the same thing that I had done one time, only he was typing as he was walking. He was looking into his phone, not paying attention to where he was walking whatsoever. He was at the opposite end of the hallway, coming straight at me, and I could see what he was headed for, but he couldn't see it because he had his eyes fixed on his phone. And I said kind of loudly, "Hey, watch out." But he had earbuds in and must have been listening to music or something fairly loudly, or he was just really intent on what he was typing because he didn't hear me or he didn't pay attention. And it wasn't 10 seconds later, he walked straight into a huge recycling can. He tripped over it and fell, and some of the cans and bottles and stuff that were in it came out onto the floor. All the while, he managed to get back up, still looking at his cell phone screen, never even looked over at me, and he just kept on walking. He didn't even stop to clean up the mess he made. He tripped and fell because he wasn't watching up ahead, and when he ended up in trouble, he left a mess in his wake. He didn't even clean it up. He ignored it and kept on going, just trapped in his own little world. I was kind of shocked, though I shouldn't be. I know more than a handful of people like this. Do you? I mean, they do as they please. They don't care to look up, look around. And spiritually speaking, they refuse to acknowledge that God should be leading them. And when they make a mess, they act like they had no part in it. And they leave the mess behind them, not caring who gets hurt in the process. And they just keep on going. I mean, this guy didn't even care that someone else might come along and trip on that stuff, or that someone else had to come clean up his mess. When we turn our eyes downward, our hearts tend to follow. And so do our thoughts. Our hopes also sink. And our belief system usually goes down in the toilet as well. So when we lose focus on Jesus and what he has for us, we forget that he's there. We sometimes forget, although I don't know how, except that we're human. We have feeble brains. We have poor memories. And it's getting worse. The more we have our cell phones remember everything for us, the poorer our memories become and our vision is unfocused. You know, we need the reminder that the Lord is here. He's not just the light at the end of a tunnel. He is the creator of the light and the creator of the tunnel. He's the one that marks out the path that's set before us. But when we see storms and focus on them, that's when we trip. That's when we fall and we expect someone else to clean up our mess because we weren't paying attention. We didn't have our eyes focused where they should be. We didn't elevate our eyes and look up to see Jesus. We stay in our own cocooned world at times, trying to stay in control of our own lives, thinking that we don't need God. Then that's when we get into serious trouble. And then when we get into trouble, some people, then and only then do they seek him out. And you know what? Either way, when you cry out to him, he's going to be there for you. But I'm here to tell you from experience that when you keep your eyes on Jesus, the world is a much better place to live in. And those small pebbles that you keep trying to avoid, but you keep tripping over, they can become solid ground to walk on so you trip far less. When you put your hope in your love and your faith in Jesus and you keep your eyes fixed on him. Because, you know, we have these very human brains, like I said, most of all of us, we need daily reminders because of them. It's just the way we're made. We don't just need to pray for alleviation of stress and to get our own, or to get our own way, which is what a lot of us do. We need to elevate our thinking, elevate our prayers, and step up our efforts to keep focused on what's important every single day. We need to open our minds to being transformed from self-centered thinking into Christ-centered thinking so we can know what God says is important and who we are in him as we run this race that's set out before us. I remember when my son was about 6 years old and he wanted to play soccer. He loved anything having to do with sports. Soccer balls, baseballs, footballs, basketballs. He loved throwing a ball and hitting one. Of course, he did not like running bases or running up and down a basketball court. So, smart little fart that he was, he learned very quickly that if he was able to sink a basket from anywhere he was standing on the court, then he didn't really have to run very hard at all. And if he hit a baseball hard enough and far enough to call it a home run, then he didn't really have to run around all the bases. He could just kind of walk the bases and get the accolades along the way. So this is one of those cases where I'd say his skill and effort were totally motivated by laziness. And so early on, he wanted to be able to kick a ball. Even now, he loves dodgeball and kickball. Again, he doesn't like the dodging, the running, and the actual effort you have to put into it, but he loves the action of playing with the ball on the field. So at 6 years old, we decided to enroll him in a peewee soccer league. He was so excited. His very first game was hilarious, though. And if you've ever watched little kids out on a ball field, it's pretty entertaining. My stepdaughter played soccer when she was 5, but she didn't really play. She stood out in the field and listened to people yell. She did some cheers. She picked the dandelions in the grass. And one time she decided to braid a girl's hair. And as the coach was yelling for them to run to the other end of the field, she held onto one girl's braid, running behind her, trying to braid her hair as they ran. Yeah, she had good priorities for the ball game. Let's just say she became a good volleyball player instead. But my son loved the fun of the kick. And so when he got out on that soccer field, his first very first game, he was very excited. He actually was one of the first to kick the ball, and he ran right behind it. And because no one was near him, he was able to keep kicking it. I mean, that kind of running was okay with him because he was actually doing something while he was running. I guess it made it worth the effort to him. I mean, he actually ran. It was shocking. It was like dangling a carrot in front of a horse's face. The freedom of being able to kick that ball just kept him going. But he was highly focused on that ball, not on where he was going. He didn't pay attention to the path up ahead or to the fact that people were calling and yelling and crying out to him to pay attention where he was going. And before you know it, he was all the way at the far end of the field, kicking that soccer ball all the way into the next soccer field and right into the middle of another peewee team's soccer game. He didn't look up until it was too late and he was in with other kids. He didn't elevate his eyes to see that even though he was having fun on his journey, he was headed in the wrong direction. We can get that way too, right? We can get so focused on what we want and when we want it that we ignore what God is calling us to do. And when I think of the lessons I learned from watching my son play his first and only soccer game, by the way, because I also have to tell you that shortly after that long, long drive down the field, another boy kicked the soccer ball super hard, very close to my son, and it hit him square in the crotch. He doubled over and he fell to the ground and that was it. He was done. Boom. No more soccer for him. But I think we both learned a lesson that day about making sure we keep our eyes elevated. So in my pod quotes, I shared with you a quote by Martin Luther King, where he said, "You don't need to see the whole staircase, just the first step." We can only take one step at a time in this race. And if we sit and worry what each next step is, then we're focusing on things too far out in front of us. That's why we tend to look at the ground, is we want to see where the next step and the next step and the next step is, instead of focusing on the destination, on Jesus. Focusing on the ground and where we're walking every second makes us wary and afraid, like we're trying to control it all ourselves. But God calls us to take one step at a time on this journey and to have faith that He will provide to us the strength and energy that it takes for the next step, the next curve, the next set of stairs, one step at a time. We have to keep focused on Him, and He will let us know when we need to turn left or right or veer this way or that. If we look down out of fear or try to plan our own way without keeping Jesus as our focus, we're going to trip and fall again and again. And the next time we're asked to pray for someone, pray for their specific need. That's what I'm asking you to do. Not only do we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus ourselves, but the next time we pray for someone else, we pray for them to keep their eyes focused on Jesus. Lift it up to the Lord, but don't forget to pray not just for their specific issue to be alleviated, but for their focus, their faith, and their soul to be elevated. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Woman Inspired Podcast. Till next time, I pray you have a blessed week.